Blog Talk Radio.
One evening, an elderly Cherokee brave told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves that are inside us all. One is evil. It is angry, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, superiority, lies, false pride, superiority, and ego. The other wolf, however, is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and he asked his grandfather, "Well, grandfather, which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "It's the one you feed."
Let us pray. I thank you, Lord, for my birth and everything that's followed. I thank you, Lord, for today, and I will pray for tomorrow. I thank you, Lord, for the love of my life and a friend. I made a promise, and I'm loving my wife to the end. I thank you, Lord, for your guidance, because it's all that counts. And right here, right now, Lord, this is your house. I thank you, Lord, for a dream that came true to light. And I ask you to bless everybody in this room tonight. I don't always do the right thing, and I ask you to forgive me, because I need you here with me. Without you in my life, it's empty. I think back how some people did me, like violence was the remedy. And because I think of that now, I pray for my enemy. Not because of what I'll do, but because they don't know. There's something better after here, but everybody won't go. So I ask you to forgive them, and we'll hope they see. And I thank you for the love that they've given to me. I will not abuse it, nor will I lead them astray. You see, I love them like children that I see every day. And I pray, no, we pray together. Get us through the bad weather, and we love you forever. Let your thought and my heart go hand in hand. I first thought but to start, but I stand a man. And for as long as I can, as long as you permit me, please give me the strength I need to live. Bear with me. Amen.
Yes. Yes, yes. Good evening. Good afternoon or good morning. You know, it all just depends on what part of the world you are listening. Okay, namaste, hola, and welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show, live every Thursday night, 7 p.m., here on Blog Talk Radio. That's right, I didn't kick it off tonight. We figured we'd be seen in green every night. I'm just going to cut it short. You heard the beginning there. I played a little tribute to Earl Simmons, better known as DMX or Dark Man X. That's what DMX stood for, a rapper who just recently passed away. I just wanted to pay my respects to that artist. I know some people may question why did I play that tonight, but growing up with my tribe, you know, a lot of his music, really fueled a lot of tenacity. had a discussion about that word tenacity yesterday with my dad, but a lot of tenacity of my tribe and myself. So just wanted to, you know, respect Earl Simmons, just passed away recently, April 9th, DMX. You know, thank you. So welcome again tonight. We continue our discussion on planning and goals. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties here every Thursday night, holding down the other half of our hosting duties is my friend, my dad, the Lions historian, as I like to call him, Bill Green. I just gave that to him himself, you know. You hear him chuckling in the background there. What's happening, Daddy-O? How you doing tonight?
The Lions historian.
Hey, man.
What's up, Wilfredo? Man, I'm telling you, man. I mean, I am so glad you played DMX tonight, man. I hope you end the show. I'm hoping you'll end the show with it as well. That's my request. Do you take requests?
Wow. Well, I will if you're asking me to play DMX, man. I'm glad I got to record it.
Yeah, man. No, that was Earl Simmons, right? Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that brother out, man. You know, but that yeah, that was cold. That was cold. I'm all the way with that, man.
Yeah, I know that when I told you that I was going to play it, I'm sure there was a part of you like, okay.
Yeah, absolutely, but, man. I mean,
yeah, but there was a purpose to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and everything for the past week that I've been seeing or reading about, you know, this brother was well received in the hood, man.
Especially in Chicago. You know, I know he's got his roots on the East Coast, you know, but I mean, like in Chicago, I know people that said, you know, he's out in Little Village, hangs out in Little Village with no problems, hang out at Cabrini Green, no problems, you know, everywhere he went in Chicago, you know, regardless of his status, he didn't treat anybody different, you know, and he never had any issues because he always believed that God was with him. You know, he's very spiritual. I didn't always like and agree all of his music, you know, but there were some tracks, you know, and I'm riding with my tribe, you know, we riding out, you know, we bump the music or whatever. But, you know, but it was his artistry and his spirituality that he let be known. Mm-hmm. You know, he was able to display both and not have to worry about not being himself, you know. In a way, he kind of wrote his own story, if you will, through his music, which, you know, that's, you know, I kind of respect that, you know.
That's the idea, right? Yeah, man, you know.
Yeah.
That's the idea. I mean, to me, there's no more beautiful of an extension of oneself than to bring the words you are, you know. I mean, there's a lot of trickery going on, you know, dudes, women, you know, who pretend otherwise, but for someone to represent their true beliefs, you know, I'm going to respect that no matter how hard it comes. if I know that's about them. Amen. Yeah, right on, yeah. Man. That was beautiful.
Cool. I'm glad you liked it. That means something to me. You know, you tell the story a lot, and, you know, when it comes to rap music and artists, it's always that flashback to our time at the University of Michigan, you know.
Yeah, well, see, I flash all the way back to me and Cousin Marty, you know. It's like what we said we would never, never, ever do is not be able to relate to our children's music. And there I was, not relating.
What is this rap music? What do you play?
Yeah. Now, what is this rap junk? That's what I said. I don't remember what I said. Yeah, rap junk, yeah. And let me throw my insult all the way out there.
for those of you not familiar, just me and my dad went on a trip to University of Michigan, which I was looking at studying engineering, and I was playing some rap music, and he's like, "Hey, what is that rap junkie listening to?" And
on his Walkman.
On my Walkman, you know, with a cassette player, you know, yeah. It existed before CD and MP3 players. And tablets and stuff. But I'm like, Dad, you know, this rap music is like our blues, you know, because they're telling stories in the street. And they're telling stories of this and that. So, but yeah, that's always a cool story. Before we dive further into tonight's show, as always, we like to remind all of you listening just a few things. The first thing is make sure that you've got a pen and pad handy with you, if possible. You may not be if you're driving or moving around. Of course, I don't want you to get in any accidents. But if you're able to, get a pen and pad, a paper, a pencil, a post-it note and marker, whatever you can find. Maybe you've got some questions. We want to make sure you don't forget those questions. You might even pick up something from us tonight. Maybe you want to write some stuff down for your own benefit as well. But we want to make sure that you don't miss out on any of that. The other thing is our chat room is open if you're listening online, which you can engage with your free Blog Talk Radio account. To set that up, you know, you can go on Blog Talk Radio, set up a profile. They may ask you for a credit card. You won't be charged if you do the free account. We haven't had any problems with our account. Right, Dad? You haven't had any problems with your card? I haven't had any problems with my card.
No, not at all. No, not at all, man. Not even the knock on wood thing. It's just, you know, it's just not been an issue. You know, not an issue. It's not like luck or anything. No, it's good, man. Yeah.
One thing that Dad and I enjoy about doing this Thursdays and Saturdays is the ability to engage with you all, the listeners. Unlike other podcasts where you just sit around and just listen to people talking, when we do these shows live, we have the ability to engage with you all, whether it be through the chat room online or through the phone lines, which the number here to call in is area code 516-453-6094. Again, 516-453-6094. And if you press 1 on your keypad, your phone number will pop up in our queue, and that'll let us know you would want to come in and kick it with Dad and I, or me and Dad. Which one is it, Dad and I or me and Dad?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what? I'm kind of going off script for a quick second here. And hey Sue, I see you in the chat room. That's right. See, people can engage in the chat room, and we will, say hey back. So, hey Sue, thanks for listening. I know you're out there in those streets, so don't be trying to take notes while you're driving. Be safe out there.
Right on.
I'm gonna kind of go off script for a quick second. I'm like, exactly. So just recently I realized that the greenhouse effect has celebrated an anniversary, and Dad, I didn't know if you knew this. So,
no, I didn't.
Yeah, so about 9 years ago, there was this show that a friend of mine, and this my friend Emmanuel and this other guy, Trenton, started. They started this radio show. And I used to listen to the show, and I was supporting the show. And I ended up, you know, being like a guest host here and there. And it really got me going and intrigued my interest in doing this radio stuff, this talk radio thing. And a couple years after that, on April 7th in 2014, I decided that I wanted to start my own talk show, which is the Greenhouse Effect talk show that you see, that you're listening to right now, whether it be live or on a recorded broadcast. So that was April 7th, 2014. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And you know, it's very interesting how all of this has evolved, and the ups and downs, the hiatus, you know, and I wanted to take a moment to not only acknowledge the anniversary date, but also acknowledge all the supporters and those people that, that started out, you know, listening to the show back in 2014. I was looking back at those early episodes, you know, and just looking at the number of listeners, and I'm like, holy cow. You know, so I just wanted to make sure that I acknowledge them and thank them for their support.
Right.
And, here we
right
are
on,
today.
Man. Yeah.
You know, here we are today.
Right on, man. That's beautiful, beautiful. Great milestone, my man.
Yeah. Yeah. The Greenhouse Effect is on Facebook. On the Facebook page, there's a thing that I put up as far as what it's about. And those of you that are not familiar with the Greenhouse Effect and what we're doing here, what my purpose, the reason for putting this together on Thursdays, which is super, I don't know how to say just, well, the initial process of beginning it, I mean, I'm going to say this. It is through wisdom that we grow and develop as individuals, and that our discussions on this show is to discuss topics that are relevant to our society today. You know, it's kind of a play on words, the Greenhouse Effect, because I believe that in order for us to grow and to live, we have to live with each other. We have to grow with each other, just like the sun and the greenhouse effect, and how, you know, we have plants and oxygen and how we live. I think that it's very important that we have to remember that we're all in this together. And that we need each other. But I was saying, though, that, you know, at the beginning of this new season, I don't even know the words to put into it, to have the opportunity to do this with you, Dad. You know, like, this is taking it to a whole nother level for me. You know?
Yeah.
You know, so, again, just that growth and this opportunity that we have to do this. Again, I just want to say thank you. And even to you, Dad, thank you for being a part of this journey.
Right on, man. Well, this is the only level I know, so thank you for dragging me, kicking and screaming into it, man.
Yeah, I guess so.
I love it.
Yeah. I guess so, if you say so.
My man.
I told my dad a long time ago, I'm like, yeah, maybe we can get your own show. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And then one day he hits me up. He says, hey, I got an idea.
Yeah. It just hit me.
How about we do this? Well, that's a good idea. Yeah,
my man, beautiful job you do, man.
Yeah, thank you.
It's a beautiful job you do. Seriously, yeah.
So, I wanted to kick off tonight's show, just reviewing and talking about goals and plans and things like that. In our description of tonight's show, and I know there's a whole lot of things that's going on right now. You know, I think we realize if you listen to this show every week, there's so much that can happen in a small amount of time. And it's like every 7 days we're looking up, right? And we ask the question, what now? Now.
Now.
There you go.
I had muted myself. So I had to jump back real quick. I was rustling some paper, man, and I didn't want to distract you, man. Yeah,
that's
so
cool.
I was fumbling around. Hey, where's the mute? Where's the mute? I'm muted. Yeah.
You better mute me. So I wanted to, before we kind of talk about some of the other things that's happening out here in the world, and I know it's a lot to talk about, one of the things of this show is that I like to, again, talk about things that are relevant to our society, and not just current events, but things I think that can help us to grow, things that can help us adapt during this new era, this new life of dealing with COVID and coronavirus, you know, and dealing with life's issues. So I wanted to continue the show, talking about planning and executing goals. Now, last week, we talked a little bit about why it's actually difficult to set goals, let alone accomplish goals, which is difficult itself to accomplish if you can't really set them properly. You know, so a couple of issues that I have personally in setting goals was that, first of all, I didn't even write them down. And when it came to goals, I knew the goals and ideas I had in my head, but I figured, you know, I just get lucky, you know, and if I just concentrate real hard, you know, like I got the force or something, then maybe it'll come to me. I might get lucky, you know, but I won't be disappointed if I don't get the goal that I want, kind of cheating myself out of the process. And I was okay with just doing enough to get by, you know, even in school. You know, just doing enough, rather be just enough, be, except when it came to algebra and mathematics. That was easy. But everything else, you know, just do enough. You know, and it wasn't really a necessity to set a goal. And then for me, the other thing was I didn't realize later in life that I actually, and we do it to this day, and I think, Dad, even you said to say that if you're not worried about what other people think, then, you know, you kind of lying to, you're fooling yourself sometimes. But I allowed a lot of those influences and negative input to affect the goals and the plans that I had that I wanted to do. You know, if I got one negative feedback, it was like, oh, forget it. That's all right. Then I'll just do something else, you know. Worried about what other people think.
Right.
You know. In addition, generally, last week we also talked about reasons that goals are not really accomplished. And this is more generally speaking. The other examples that I just mentioned were just me being transparent, just kind of the personal things that I went through. But generally speaking, there are like four things that I mentioned a little bit last week, and I wanted to continue that first. And there were four things I mentioned last week, these things that can hinder goals. The first thing that can hinder goals is fear. Les Brown calls fear, well, I don't know if it was Les Brown that created this acronym, but he said false evidence appearing real. A lot of times, what we, how can I put it? What is, there's probably 90% of things that we see that is put in our minds daily as negative. A lot of false evidence, you know. There's a lot of things that we create in our own minds that's not even there. Rather be influenced by others, or just, you know, we just talk ourselves out of things. Like, what's the saying? An artist is his worst critic. You know, many times as an artist, you know, I'm like, ah, no, that's dumb. That's no, that don't look right. No, that's not it. You got to do that over again. So a lot of times there's this fear that I think that we create that's not there. And that really hinders our ability to create a goal. You know, false evidence appearing real. Kind of like how the old school bank robbers used to walk into banks and they put their hand in their pocket, you know, with a handkerchief over their face and a hand in their pocket, pointing the finger out, and you know, they'll make people think that they got a gun. You know, that's kind of what we do to ourselves at times. That's kind of what we do to ourselves at times. Sometimes we rob ourselves sometimes of these accomplishments. You know, we stick ourselves up. So number one is fear. The second thing is poor self-image. Now, what the heck does that mean? Poor self-image. So I recently was laid off last year, you know, with this whole COVID issue. For like 4 years or so, I had a good job working with the kids and things like that, but unfortunately, things didn't work out, and I got laid off, right? And if those of you that were laid off from jobs or, you know, had a bad relationship or something like that, there's these moments of issues of self-image that at least I dealt with after getting laid off from this job recently. I'm just being transparent for a moment. But a lot of times the thing is, you know, how do you see yourself? You know, I try to create a vision for these goals, but creating a vision can be difficult also. If you read a lot about goals and things like that, they'll say, like, creating a vision and what do you see? But that can be difficult. And a lot of that depends on your own self-image. You know, again, how do you see yourself? Positive thinking, it's all, you know, really about positive thinking, going back to even fear. Positive thinking won't work with negative thinking, of course. You know, how often do we hear you can accomplish wonders, you know, do what you want, be like what you want to be. But if you start telling yourself that you are important, that you have this ability to do things, you'll believe it. And I think a lot of times we hear these things, but we really don't believe it. And then the question is, again, I'm going to say it one more time, you know, how do you see yourself? What kind of self-image do you have? This may not apply to you, but this is just, again, an example of what can hinder the goal. You know, maybe your goal has something to do with how you see yourself accomplishing that goal or seeing yourself, or do you even see yourself in that goal? Nah, I can't do that.
Right,
hey,
that's right.
Dad, you remember that time, Dad, when I was working at that music store, and I was and I was like, man, I could be a music promoter, or I can work with the music labels or something like that. Right, I forgot exactly what it was, but I had this idea in my head, and when I mentioned this to someone, they said, nah, you're too old for that. And then immediately that goal just, you know, it just shrunk up, you know, like a dry plant. It was done. You know,
like a dry plant, right.
Like it just dried up, you know. And a lot of that was that, you know, there's that negative input. But then all of a sudden there's that image I saw of myself. Oh, man, here I am. I'm like this 50-year-old in the club, you know. Like, oh, man.
Ah. Yeah, with all colors and platform shoes. Oh, geez, man. Yeah.
So, you know, from that moment on, it was done because that was the self-image that I had for myself. You know, why can't I be 50 years and a 50-year-old in the club? I look pretty good. But anyway, but that's just again, an example. It's just a little example of what can hinder people's goals. And that's why, I talk about affirmations, and I know, well, I talk a lot about affirmations because affirmations can improve self-image, you know, and dealing with my layoff from last year, and even, you know, I think Sue's still listening, and one thing, you know, Sue has helped me with is building, you know, my self-image and working on affirmations. And we've talked a lot about that on previous shows as well. You know, so if you haven't done a lot of affirmations, try it. You know, go on YouTube. You know, Dad talks about honoring the passing of the day. Take a moment before you go to sleep and reflect on your day. It might even help you plan and prepare for the next day. You know, a lot of things that we've talked about on previous shows, but I'm not going to get into those right now. We're staying focused on some of these things that can hit the goal.
Man, it's easy, man. I feel you right on, man. Beautiful, man.
I'm trying to stay focused here.
That's all right. You focus, man. Even if you go left, you still focus. That's all right, man.
I'll bring it back. So, fear, poor self-image. The third thing that can hinder a goal is no buy-in. And really with no buy-in, I like to add with no buy-in that you're really trying to find balance. What does all that mean, right? A lot of times we'll work. I'll use the same example I did last week. Excuse me. You're working. You know, you got a job. You're working for somebody. And you spend a lot of time working your job, and you get into these reflective moments like, man, I'm working all these hours, and I haven't really spent a lot of time with my family. So you finally get some time with your family or whatever, and then you get caught up thinking, man, I'm spending time with my family. I got to make sure that I get my work done. You know, I got to make sure I spend time for work. And then we get into this moment of back and forth. Like, I got to spend more time with my family. Or I got to spend more time with my job, you know. And then what happens is that we end up just saying, I have no time for anything. Sesame Street used to have this dude on there called Don Music.
Don Music.
You remember Don Music? Don Music, that he'll be playing on the piano. He's trying to come up with a new song or something like that. And Kermit comes in. If those of you familiar with Kermit, in the early days before the Muppets, he's this reporter. He'll come in with his reporter coat, the microphone. You know, Kermit the Frog. You know, and he's coming to see Don Music, and Don Music is trying to construct this new song or something like that. And he's like, oh, I'll never get it. And then he bangs his head on the piano. Boom. You know, every time. I'll never get it. And I think that we get into those moments of Don Music because we're trying to balance work. We're trying to balance the family. And we end up just not having, oh, forget it. I just don't have any time for anything. And bang, we bang our heads on the piano. You know, it's finding that balance. You know, when you're on the job, just be on the job. When you're with your family, be with your family. Finding that balance. You know, it's difficult to identify goals at that kind of pace. You have no time for anything else, right? But it's not the lack of time. And what we said last week, that it's not the lack of time, but the lack of direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the lack of time, but the lack of direction. Direction creates time. Motivation builds from that, which creates the energy. But how can you create the energy when you continue to restart yourself? Work and family. You know. So there's no buy-in. How are we doing so far?
Doing great, as far as I'm concerned.
I know that
I can't
really
speak
that
for
really
the hundreds and thousands of others listening in, though.
The millions. I know that really got you going last week.
It's getting me going
really,
this week too.
Yeah, I know you're really, you know, really intrigued about that, and it's finding that balance. You know, it's difficult. It's difficult every day. We deal with life issues, mm-hmm. personal issues, financial issues, health issues, family issues, work issues.
Yeah.
But just try to, you know, again, find that balance,
mm-hmm.
that buy-in for your job, that buy-in for your family, that buy-in for that balance. I'm going to say it one more time. It's not the lack of time, but the lack of direction. Direction creates time. With that direction, you create also motivation, and that motivation creates energy.
Energy, right. I love it. I know. Yeah.
You know, there's people out here that plan for weddings, but they don't take the time to plan for the marriage. Find that balance.
Wow. All that energy put into the wedding. And none left for the marriage. Wow.
None left for the marriage. You're done after the after the wedding, you know?
Wow.
A lot of people are done right after that. You know?
Man.
Don't plan the marriage.
So the vows, yeah. So the vows I take is just the vows I take for the wedding, you know? And after the wedding, them vows are tucked away in the memoirs. Not to be revealed until, you know, don't open it except in the event of my death. Like,
dang.
Wow, that's deep, man.
I guess now it'd be like, don't open in the case of COVID. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. You got me so aware that you know what I mean?
I know what you're saying.
I'm trying not to do it.
Well, you know, man, it's a worthy endeavor indeed, man. But
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But that's what we do here.
You said, but I said, it's a worthy endeavor indeed, but, you know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, man. Man, that's a hard one. It's such a part of. I don't think I realized until it's like what I call the red Volkswagen syndrome. You know, I didn't realize how many red Volkswagens there were out here until I bought one.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize how many people say you know. I didn't realize how many people like in the news or in any of the talk shows. I didn't realize how many of them say, you know, until I became aware of me trying not to say it. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
It just pops and it just becomes part of the flow. I just decided I was saying it too much. But it's a filler. It's a filler of thought. But anyway, go ahead, man. Let me take you off your stride.
No, you're good. You're good. You're perfect. You're perfect. So, again, just looking back real quick, some of the things that hinder goals. Fear, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, poor self-image. Number three, no buy-in or not finding balance. The last one is like, and it's that simply we just don't know how. We don't know
how
to set goals. We just don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's all me. I'm still learning right now. Right now doing this show live today, April 15th, 2021, as we're talking about goals, I'm working on my goals, and these are the things that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my – I didn't know. I didn't know how to do that. Just figure it out. You know, tomorrow I'm going to wake up, I might be in a better mood, and I might do this, I might do that in my head, but I definitely ain't write nothing down. And don't let, you know, something happen. Oh, the lights went out. Ah, and then boom, I banged my head on the piano. Oh, I'm never going to go. You know? But it's when those things happen that you can still get stuff done. But if you don't have a plan to execute it, you won't get it done. So we don't know how, right? It takes a lot of time in this process of goal setting. You know, for me, that's why it was difficult, because I didn't really want to invest a lot of time. You know, I wanted it to get done.
Right.
You know, but setting goals properly can create time, actually. It can actually create time. Even now, I set goals for this show. And before doing the show, I would just freestyle. I would just come on, yeah, I got a journal idea or the things that I might want to, that I want to talk about. But that would be it. There really wasn't a plan on how I wanted to have the show ran. And that's what I really enjoy about working with you, Dad. You know, now we're able to implement it, and there's more time available. You know,
yeah.
It's not like, oh, my God, where did the time go? You know, like, really, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, shoot, we still got 20 minutes. You know, we good.
Right, yeah.
Whereas
yeah,
before,
yeah.
It'd be like, oh,
good
man,
point.
We went
yeah.
20 minutes after the show. You know, and we're still, you know, kind of freestyling. But
yeah, still trying to get caught up, right.
Still trying to get caught up, right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, setting goals, again, properly can create more time.
And that's
yeah. When you discipline, there's that word discipline. I'm going to mention that word again. When you discipline yourself to do these things you ought to do, and when you ought to do them, the day will come when you can do the things you want to do, when you want to do them. And that's something that I'm still learning, because a lot of times I want to do things, I want to play now, you know, but I realize that I have to put in this work. And setting these goals and setting these plans before I can play. I got to set this plan before 7 o'clock Central Standard Time, before the music comes on, and then I can play. But it took me a lot of time to realize that. And I'm just saying, just to play, meaning I'm having so much fun doing this. You know, so that's, you know, just my play time. But,
mm-hmm.
I hope that makes sense.
No, just to me, yeah, yeah. So I'll just be the mouthpiece for the audience. Yeah, it makes sense. Mm-hmm.
But you know, I hope that when we learn how to set these goals, whether it be physically, you know, you want to get in shape, or mentally, you know, spiritually, or goals for your family or finances or your relationships, whatever those goals are, that discipline allows you to develop a procedure. And you build momentum, like we just said earlier. That direction, you've created the direction, and that direction actually will produce more time. And developing more time, you can build more momentum. And building that momentum will create more energy. You actually end up creating a formula for yourself. Whatever that individual formula is, because we're all different. Yeah, we're all different.
Yeah.
So however you apply that formula for yourself, just like math, you can implement it in anything. For your physical goals, your mental goals, your spiritual goals, your family goals, all the other things that I mentioned earlier. But it's just the steps in getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
And learning how to do it. But how to do it requires some discipline. And when we say discipline, when I say discipline, because to me discipline used to be like, get away from me, discipline. We put my fingers together, you know, form the groove. I don't want any discipline. I want to do it the way I want to do it. But no, you develop a habit. And you're not all over the place, family and time. Family and work, and work and family, time and family and work. You're not all over the place. You develop a habit, and it's all about developing a habit. So there are a few things that I want to, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of flipping in my notes here. I got a little carried away for a second.
You're doing fine, man. You're doing fine. No apology necessary.
The next 2 or 3 weeks or so, I want to continue talking about making plans and accomplishing goals, implementing goals.
Yes.
So there are things that I know that we will discuss, excuse me, and that I'll go back over again, you know, in the previous weeks. But I don't want to get caught up talking about the same thing over again, As I mentioned, there is a formula, and as you see, we're kind of already breaking down that formula, developing that balance, and, mm-hmm. and developing that balance. And in developing that balance and creating direction, creating time, motivation, momentum, and energy. So there's a formula that's going to be created. So I just ask that you all stick with us for the next couple of weeks as we talk about these goals, and you'll see how the formula lays out.
Right on.
Yeah. So... Also, last week I mentioned initial steps that I started in developing my goals. Again, just a moment of transparency. And I mentioned it already, if you haven't been listening. The first thing that I'm doing is writing it down. Write it down. Got to write it down. So, you know, as I mentioned earlier, you want to grab a pen and paper, a pencil and pad, a marker, a post-it note, or the back of an envelope, an index card, you got to write it down. You got to write it down. Because otherwise, they'll just be wishes. And they will just, our thoughts are too fast sometimes. And we get so caught up in something else. And if we don't write it down, we'll forget it. We'll get distracted or something like that. The second thing, as I mentioned, not putting my two fingers up in the form of a cross is discipline and trying to develop a habit. And even just writing it down, you're already creating a habit. You're already creating a discipline form of writing those goals down. And the other thing that I'm doing is trying to develop structure. Now, I mentioned SMART goals and breaking down SMART goals. Like, what are SMART goals? SMART is an acronym in establishing and structuring your goals.
Mm-hmm.
The S is for specific.
Right.
A strong goal, it has to be detailed and defined. You know, usually you can rely using the who, what, when, where, things like that. But it's specific. The M is for measurable. With, you know, you want to ensure that your goal is measurable, lets you understand that you've got a good pace about it. Yeah, that you're pacing yourself towards your goal.
Mm-hmm.
This is really helpful if your goal involves a longer time frame, because you can break your goal down into smaller goals. So M is measurable. A in SMART is attainable. So we got specific, measurable, and attainable, or achievable. Attainable,
okay, I was about to ask, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I'll use the same example I used last week. If your goal is to make everybody happy, that is not going to be attainable. That is going to be so difficult to achieve, which I think is really impossible to achieve, because you can't make everybody happy. But when creating goals, set yourself up for success by being realistic. Ask yourself if the goal you're striving for is reasonable and attainable. even given your current circumstances, your current situations, right?
Mm-hmm.
The R is for relevant. So if you're putting energy towards a certain outcome, that outcome should move your greater objective forward. For example, if your goal is moving up, let's say, to a management role, ask yourself why you want to achieve that goal. Do you enjoy leadership? Is developing a team something you're passionate about? Then again, this is just with this example of management. But you're looking at that goal and think about that energy you're putting in. Goals that are relevant to your future self, to the future idea, the vision you have, can be sustainable because there is motivation to get that goal accomplished. So the T in SMART is time. Of course, you want to set a time for this achievement, establishing a deadline. Now, that can be difficult, and it's really a challenge for me because now I've got to hold myself accountable. Well, if I don't have a deadline, I'm just still working on it. Yeah, I'm still working on it. But without some kind of established end, there's really no clear clue to, to even begin. Because I can work on it later, or I can work on it later. Because I keep setting, there's no set deadline. There's no set timetable. So setting the time parameter, if you will, can really help you, measure success. And even if you don't accomplish the goal by the deadline, at least you started that process. One question that I always ask is, how do you reward yourself? Do you even acknowledge, that you even started it? You may not have accomplished the goal, but you started it. You took the test. You took the steps to begin. And I think for a lot of us, that is a big accomplishment within itself. So again, the S is specific, not Pacific. Specific. M is measurable. I'm trying to be serious here. Cut it out. Cut it out. M is measurable. A is achievable or attainable, however you want to put it.
Mm-hmm.
R is relevant. And T is time. Developing SMART goals. So those are some things I think that can really help us as we structure our goals, as we write them down, as we set them up. So I really hope that everybody has a pen and paper handy, because I want to read off a few things. Actually, it's about seven things, seven questions for you, the individual listening to this show.
Okay.
So, and these are just something for you to reflect on. And I will have these questions posted on the group page as well, in the Greenhouse FX group page on Facebook and on Twitter as well. So, number one, I'll say it again, write down your goal. Write it down. Have you written your goal? I'm sorry, I said this is going to be questions. Yes, we're going to put these in the form of questions. Have you written down your goal? Number two. Have you spelled out the details? Have you spelled out the details of why you want to reach these goals? The details of why you want to reach these goals.
Number three is a little long, but bear with me here. It's really not that long, but it'll sound long. And the question is about obstacles. Have you identified the obstacles you have to overcome in order to get there? Have you identified the obstacles you have to overcome to get there? Now, if you don't have none, then you're almost there. That's awesome. But there's something that stands between what you have and what you want. And again, if there's nothing between you and your goals, then you're already there. But you have to find out what those obstacles are. And you have to choose to overcome them. I'm going to say it again. You have to find out what those obstacles are. And you have to choose to overcome each one. Number four. Have you spelled out what you need to know to reach your goals? Is there something more you need to know? What do you need to know to reach those goals? Number five, numero cinco. Are there people, groups, organizations you can or you need to work with that can help you? Have you identified people, groups, organizations you need to work with to help you get your in order for you to get there? There's two more. Number six. Is there a plan of action? Again, there's a little accountability with that. But have you devised a specific plan? Here's that word again, specific. Specific plan of action in order to get there. And the last one. Have you set a date on each of the goals you want to accomplish? Have you set a date for each goal you want to accomplish? And then I'm going to take a page out of your book. I'm going to use you to see, you know, just to see how the pace is. How, you know, is there any questions or something you wanted me to repeat? Anything, you know, you might have missed?
Give me number two again. I'm trying to be sure I got it separated from number five, six. So,
yeah, the details. Number two is about the details.
Four. I want to be sure I got, okay. I want to be sure I got, so two is about details, okay.
Two is about details.
Okay.
Four is, is there something, where are we, four, is there something more you need to know? Maybe there's something more you need to learn in order to reach that goal.
To know or learn, okay.
You know, there's a story about the, well, not a story, but, you know, we see people, we might see some guys on the corner slap boxing, right, or whatever, and they, you know, and they're like, oh, man, you know, I just put this dude down. I think I can get in the ring with no problem and whoop some guys. You know, but, you know, it'd be really difficult to get in the ring with somebody that knows the science of boxing if you think your street-level skills are going to get you there. You know, there's something more you need to learn in order to accomplish that goal. If you want to be a champion boxer, you know, you can't bring those street skills in the ring. You get demolished.
Well, you can.
I mean, you know.
If you think that's all there is, you know, yeah.
Right.
Can I tell this old joke about this?
Absolutely.
I think it fits. You know, it's this
absolutely.
this rabbi and this priest. This priest took this rabbi to his first boxing match and got ringside seats. And they were sitting there, and the rabbi was just taking in the scene. And he noticed this one boxer, you know, that he was in his corner. He knelt down, and he made the sign of the cross. So the rabbi turned to the priest and said, "Hey, I noticed that boxer over there. He dropped to a knee and made the sign of the cross." And the rabbi asked the priest, "Does that help?" And the priest looked at the rabbi and said, "Not if he don't know how to box."
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you got to.
I mean, it's cool to pray and you're in the ring, you know, but, you know.
That's a great skill set.
I ain't too sure how far that prayer is going to
get that goal done. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on, man. I hope that didn't mess it up.
No. That was number four.
Gotcha.
Was there any other ones that?
Well, for me, that was the main. You know, I didn't quite get to. I got two now. You know, details, and I can separate two from four. Now I know the difference from details and spelling it out in regards to what you need to know or learn. Big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So here we are at perfect. You know, here we are at the top of the hour here. I want to take a moment.
Wow.
At the top of the hour to just remind everyone listening, again, our show allows you, the listener, to interact with us. Again, our chat room is open. We haven't lost Sue yet. That's awesome. So our chat room is open.
Amen.
You can access with your free Blog Talk Radio account. Or you can dial in directly. Again, the number here is 516-453-6094. 516 is the area code, 453-6094. Press 1 on your keypad. That will put your number in the queue, and we can bring you in live. I wanted to make sure to remind you all remind you, the listener, and me and Dad as well, you know, that we have this ability here. And I made a post earlier on Facebook, you know, be mindful of the emotional contagion that exists when dealing with stressful times. And I know that these are some really stressful times, again, that we're dealing with. It's like the movie of life just keeps replaying itself. And, you know, we keep hearing the same stories of police incidents, young black men getting killed, young Latino boys getting killed here in Chicago by the police. You know, so it's just, you know, it's just, it's not a lot of serve and protecting, but a lot of serving and just people getting killed. And I know that even on social media, there's a lot of things that we'll see. So I wanted to remind us at the top of the hour here that these phone lines are open and that we are here as well for you. You know, this is a wellness check. You know, you may not have a lot of thoughts or anything about planning or anything, but we want to make sure that you all are okay out there. And that I think that this show offers the opportunity for you just to chime in if you want to. We just want to make sure that you all are okay out there. Emotional contagion, I use that word a lot. You know, and just to be official, if no one's ever heard of the term emotional contagion before, it's defined as having one person's emotions and related behavior directly trigger similar emotions and behavior in other people. And it's very subtle. In face-to-face social activities, it can include very subtle facial expressions, very nonverbal signals, that a person can send, and a lot of times the person receiving it doesn't even realize that they're receiving it. And on social media, though it's not face-to-face, is a perfect example of this. There's a lot of things that I was on Facebook the other day, Dad. I was looking at a video. And, you know, when you go through these videos on Facebook, they put you in this video spot or whatever. And you can just scroll down and see more videos, right? And all of a sudden, I found myself looking at six in a row videos of individuals dealing with police confrontations.
Wow.
Six videos in a row of different situations from the military med brother that was in the SUV to the young brother in Minneapolis to a situation in LA last year to another situation in 2019, but it was back to back to back to back, six in a row. If that doesn't spark some emotion, if that doesn't spark an emotion in anyone, then this segment isn't for you. But there's going to be an emotion that's going to be triggered.
Wow, and this is coming from Mr. Caller Friendly.
I got nothing else to say. You know, but I just wanted to make sure that we are aware of this emotional contagion that's out here. And it is very tragic that these things continue to happen. There's no way that a trained officer, a person that trains other officers, there's just no excuse. Can grab a weapon and think that it's one thing, but it's something else. That's lethal. There's just no excuse, you know. And I'm not, you know, I know that you may have some thoughts about it, that, but I just wanted to make sure that at this moment at the top of the hour, that I wanted to make sure that we're aware of what we receive, whether it be in our discussion with our friends and family or from our interactions on social media to even just watching the news. And again, we've talked about this on previous shows. Be aware of the information and things that you're receiving, because we want to make sure that you, as far as your mental, spiritual, physical, and even financial well-being, your wellness is being taken care of. And you have to be mindful of what you're taking in. Be aware of that emotional contagion. Let me get off
like
my box
term.
For a minute.
Yeah. No, emotional get contagion. Off your box. Yeah, I like that. I like that term, emotional contagion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I can't say actually because I don't know. But to me, the way you're using contagion as an emotional response or reaction really covers the fuller expression of the definition. You know, it really does. You know, in some ways, yeah, being a little abstract, but nevertheless, you know, I think it's safe to say most of us initially, as soon as we hear contagion, we think disease.
You know, right.
But we don't necessarily think degrees of disease or aspects of disease or different concepts, there you go, of disease. We just think in a singular term, disease, like virus or infection, but not adding that extra dimension to it, which is the whole point, you know, because contagions affect our emotions. So for you to call it an emotional contagion, it covers the full spectrum of contagion. You know, because COVID definitely stirred up folks' emotions. I would argue the point if someone wanted to argue against that. You know, I mean, it stirred up all kind of emotions, you know, from people. I'm just thinking in relation to my morning prayer circle, and not everybody had the same emotional reaction or response to COVID. Even if we all knew about one person in the group who did die, we all had different reactions emotionally even to that. Mm-hmm. So that's a heck of a term right there, man. And looking at a third, you know, like most definitions always have at least one or two derivatives, but I'm looking at the definition or thinking about the definition of contagion from a third perspective, you know, an influence that spreads rapidly. Wow. I mean, man, you know, you really covered the full spectrum of it as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, again, using COVID as the example, an influence that spreads rapidly. Talking about a contagion like COVID, right? And just having this thing that's happened recently about Johnson & Johnson and the single shot fix. And now it's causing blood clots. And 7 people out of the millions that have received it that didn't get a blood clot, 7 people that did, you know, that's like we're talking about numbers that are even less significant than the number of, well, no, it's not less. That's not true. But we're talking about in the same category of voter fraud. You know, I mean, like the percentage is so small, it becomes like a 0.00 something, like 0.003. You know, but nevertheless, just the fact that there was a blood clot that happened to 7 people, it don't matter how many millions it didn't happen to, try to tell one of those 7, you know, that it's not an emotional reaction to a contagious situation. So, and then the way the media has used its power to educate, but the way people, especially, you know, well, I ain't going to say especially, but I am going to say particularly, you know, my people, you know, like we already kind of turning the jaundiced eye to the idea of getting this shot anyway. And now we're hearing about people getting the blood clots. It's like, well, no, you know, see, I knew they would be doing something like that, but we're only talking about 7 people. Don't matter. You know, and it's like then somebody feeds into somebody before you know it, it's in the beauty parlor, and now it's over. You know, now all of a sudden we ain't getting no shot, you know, because of the influence that spreads rapidly. So I love this, man. Beautiful, beautiful. Emotional contagion.
Emotional contagion.
For a minute. Yeah.
And I know when I talk about social media, it's like, what is he talking about? You know, because I use social media, and I use social media in a different way now. You know, but like, what are you talking about on social media? So, it's been known, and I just want to say this real quick in closing about emotional contagion. It has been documented. In 2012, Facebook performed an experiment demonstrating emotional contagion. It's documented.
Is that right?
That they conducted an experiment in 2012 on about almost 700,000 users, a little less than 700,000 users, by filtering positive or negative emotional content from their news feeds.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was a publication in 2014 resulting from this experiment. So it's documented. So it's possible. And I mean, just coming off of 6 in a row, man, 6 in a row. And, you know, just one video, you know, gets my anxiety going, you know. So I'm trying to go past it, man. What prompted you to do six?
Yeah, man. What glutton of punishment was you feeding? Yeah.
I'm trying to go past it. You know, I'm trying to go to the next something else. I don't know how that happened. But it just popped up because one thing that I purposely do on social media now is I try to
talk about things a little bit more positive. You know, I know that there's we in the previous shows we talked about intention versus impact. You know, my intention may be to talk about a particular subject because I want to spark dialogue, let's say. But the impact of that discussion may be something that I didn't consider. And a lot of times, though my intention may be positive, the impact ends up being feeding the negative monster. So one of the things that I purposely try to do is make sure that I'm just try to stay more mindful. There's that other word. I just try to stay more mindful of my intention, and that if it's something that can spark some negative input, then I really try not to really post it too much, you know. Plus, I don't want people cursing me out anymore. I'm tired of all that.
Yeah.
Oh, beat up Billy.
Well, I think, yeah, but I think you're taking a little bit too much on to yourself. First of all, I think it's important to understand, well, I think it's important for anyone who uses social media to decide degrees of importance. There are those who whose whole life is wrapped around, like, let's say, a Facebook. So it's like if I post something and I get, you know, a certain number of likes, then I feel good about myself. Well, I'm not going to say about myself. I'll say then I feel good about my post, which I mean about myself. But the other side of it, if I post something that I think is really good, that's going to generate a lot of likes, and the only person who responds is somebody who makes a joke out of something I posted, now I feel slammed, you know. So there are people who, you know, whose investment in something like Facebook is tied into, you know, degrees of, you used it earlier, self-esteem. You know, so I don't know if I'm going to let Facebook determine degrees of my self-esteem based on comments they make, unless I'm really bought into the idea of what I'm posting really makes a difference. You know, I would rather approach it like a post is meant to generate response. Now, I have to take it upon myself to determine how I'm going to react to response and not put it on the person responding. So, you know, media like Facebook loses its entertainment quality, you know, when it becomes some kind of personal, you know, expenditure. I would just really encourage you to continue to not to post what you feel and not be concerned about others' reactions, asking yourself, is this positive or negative? Because I don't want to post anything that's going to cause negativity. Well, you're not causing it. You know, you're not causing it. Thoughts cause it. And what's the point in investing in social media if it's not about generating a thought and a reaction to a thought? You know, now it's up to me to determine, you know, how I'm going to let that affect me. And I know some people can make comments that don't affect me at all because they don't affect me at all. But there's others who can make comments and let's say they only tend to affect me in negative ways. Therefore, their comments are going to affect me in negative ways. And sometimes I'll miss the compliment. So I think there's a whole school of thought, even in regards to how we individually use social media as a means of communication. I think one of the problems that so many of us face is we've shortcutted our developing abilities to communicate, and we've gotten lazy because it's so immediate in response. Kind of like a contagion in its own form, you know, that influence that spreads rapidly. You know, so, you know, I kind of, you know, I'll be, well, like I'm going to tell you when I'm not being honest. I'll be honest with you, man. I kind of, sometimes I chuckle at how you get kind of caught up in other people's reactions to things that you post. And then they gang up on you. I mean, because it happens kind of fast, you know. But I'm thinking, well, didn't the brother see this coming when he posted it? And it's like, man, a rapid fire response. And I mean, you know, but of course I know that I need to wait a minute before I talk to you because I don't want to be laughing while you're like going, you know, like, man, you know, what did I do? You know, it's like, man, you know, look. You know, man, but I don't think it's a generational thing as much as it is a personal thing, meaning, you know, what Facebook means to me at 74 is probably something totally different than what it means to you at 50 or what it means to Jackson at 14 or what it would mean to somebody like Danielle at 3. You know, it's interesting, you know, how this medium and how it's really grabbed our imagination can run gunshot, just stampede over our emotions and our feelings if we let it. You know, and I mean, sometimes I'll post something that I think is, you know, meaningful and thought, you know, provocative, and it turns out to be the greatest joke posted. And that was, you know, like, hey, what are people laughing at this for? You know, and it's to me, it's interesting to see that, you know, folks react to these social media outlets in ways that we've never experienced before because we've never had anything like this. You know, I mean, we've graduated from, you know, no phone messages or devices to, you know, the original tape kind of message response on a phone. You have one message, you know, that kind of thing, to, you know, like cell phones now, you know, that in real time, you know, we're getting indicators that somebody's trying to call us when we're nowhere near home, but we have this cell phone. I mean, it's amazing, you know, but technology now doesn't really give us the kind of breaks it used to give us. Technology is constantly in our faces, and Facebook is a perfect example of that, messaging. You know, I mean, there was a time we'd be away from the home, and we'd leave it up to the, you know, the home recorder to catch any, well, it was before that, there was none. So if you weren't home and somebody called, well, the phone rang 6 or 10 times, it would conclude you're not home. You know, but now, you know, we don't even get to not be home, and people can still find us. You know, I mean, like it, I try not to answer the phone, send messages like when I'm out with someone for like a meal. And that inner battle, you know, would only be going on, of course, if I happen to leave my phone on and then there's a call, like, you know, although, you know, like the earth is about to fall apart, so I better pick this phone call up. You know, like, what would the world do if I don't answer this phone kind of reaction? So it's like I chuckle at myself and leave it alone. And then the person I'm with, you know, they grab their phone at a heartbeat. And they say, oh, wait, I got to see who this is. Oh, wait, I got to call them right back. Oh, wait. You know, and it's like, damn. You know, I'm up here trying to be polite, but it's my idea of polite. So anyway, man, you know, I think you're still writing the book on social media etiquette, you know, and the emotional contagion that comes with it. I'm loving this, man. I'm sorry, Will. Yeah. I'll talk more on it than I meant to.
No, go ahead. No, you're perfect. You're perfect. You're exactly right. And listening, you know, to you and reflecting on what I just said, it's almost just what I mentioned earlier about goals, right? And some of the issues that I had with and allowing people to influence, you know, the direction that I want to go in.
Right on, exactly, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Isn't that something? I mean, you perfectly centered with where you are at any given time, with any, again, picking on Facebook, with any given post, perfectly centered, clear about where I am with posting this, and an inconsequential comment, you know, or maybe even an icon laugh face, you know, instead of a thumbs up, you know, like, what? WTF? And now I'm on the hunt. You know, now I'm going to get eaten. It's like, man, dang, dude. You know, but it's at the same time, recognition has to be given to the thought process and the efforts made in giving thoughts a voice. That is an extension of me. That is an extension of you. You know, what you post on Facebook is your fingerprint, you know. Mm-hmm. And so somebody reacting to it, that comment, you know, is directly related to your fingerprint. There's no way of getting around that, you know. And the severity of it or the degree of it, you know, is totally left to the receiver, because we have to provide our own emotion in situations like that. And those little letters go across that white screen. Those are just little letters. You know, no emotion there. Those are just letters on the screen that spells out a word. But the emotion, you know, that becomes my job to give it that form of life. And it's going to be wherever my emotions take me, and it's going to be dependent on and determined by the person sending that out. At least that's how I deal. I mean, that's how it affects me. It's not how I deal. I'd love to say that I'm on top of all that. You know. Sometimes,
well,
if I had enough money, this little room of mine would be a computer graveyard. Computers smashed everywhere, man. You know, stuck in the walls, or, you know, big holes in the windows. I've slung one out, you know, big handprints, big fist marks in the screen, and these little letters on the keyboard, they'd be all broken and flying up in the air if I had the money, you know.
Looking like Zombie.
Boom. Of computer, you know? You know what I'm saying, man?
So, I know what you mean.
But there was something else you said earlier, too. Even in the event of those reactions, it helps to have that circle of peers, right, that healthy support system that can say, whoa, man, hold on there, bro. You know, calm down. But without that, you know, we're left to our own devices. I can't find it right now in my notes, but there was something that you said earlier about having that kind of infrastructure in place when pursuing goals, you know, of that which I wish I could find it right now without making a
lot of noise. Yeah, it was number five in the reflection question.
Okay.
Have you been able to identify
people, organizations,
organizations to help you reach your goals? Yeah. Finding like-minded individuals.
And that's the other – and thank you for doing that, because that was the other comment I wanted to make that I forgot. You know, there are goals that we set without even knowing that we set them. You know, like a goal in making a post. I mean, making a post is a goal-oriented experiment or experience. You know, I'm putting something down on paper, and the goal is to have a particular response or reaction. But I'm not calling it that. But I'm only not calling it that because I'm not looking at it that way. But if I was to look at, you know, my entering into the world of Facebook, you know, you gave me something to think about. I need to ask myself. I really do. I need to develop the discipline that allows me to question what my goal is today as I enter the world of Facebook. What was one point you made? You know, I'm going to find it. You know, what is the plan of action to reach the goal? Number seven, is there a timeline for each desirable goal? So, like, my goal today, not today, but I'm being hypothetical, you know, my goal for today is to spend no more than 3 hours on Facebook. But if I want to be realistic about that goal, I might instead say, my goal is to not spend more than 3 hours on Facebook at any one given sitting. So at 3 hours, I take a break.
That's a lot.
But still, a goal, man, you know.
Yeah.
And I don't know, to me, there's no such thing as a bad goal, you know.
No. No, I don't think so. Yeah. You know, if you can make them and identify it, I don't think so.
Yeah, there may be, you know, bad steps toward reaching that goal, but I don't think it's a bad goal, you know. And the bad steps would only, you know, be steps that aren't designed to help me achieve my goal. And, you know, it's like, oh, I didn't realize this is taking me away from it. You know, not bringing me to it. But anyway, no, man, you opened up some avenues of, and I'm not, you know, I'm thinking that it may not be bad for folks to start looking at social media as a goal trending kind of thing. How much time do I want to really spend on whatever it is I'm doing instead of just looking at it as one, you know, wide open event that I allow 24 hours to cover? Maybe, you know, how much of my time spent on Facebook, there was something else you said, that is, you know, a poor plan. I'm spending way more time than I need to. If I had a concrete plan, I might find out, wow, I have all this other time to do other things, only because I mapped out a plan of action and what I'm going to do today on Facebook. And now, you know, I'm not bringing my lunch to my computer. It's like, oh, man. Yeah, I made a plan. I can go out for lunch. I can actually call somebody up, you know, man, instead of waiting for them to answer my, you know, my Facebook comment. And they got like 800,000 followers, and I'm expecting them to see my comment. You know, no, man, right on. I'm loving this, man. Thank you. Yeah, right on, man. All right, let me shut up.
On the iPhone, on the Apple product, you can examine how much time you spend on your apps. You know, they'll break down the amount of times you spend on, you know, on your apps. Yeah, on your social media, on your emails, on your whatever. So, you know, I like that option on this phone because I'm able to monitor. And like a goal is to, you know, just be mindful, really. You know, 1 week may be different than the other, especially depending on what the hell is happening out here in the world. You know, but at least this way,
yeah.
I know, you know, that a goal may be, okay, I can't go this much, you know, over the time here, you know, whereas the next week, I'm like, okay, I need to knock this down a little bit, whatever the individual goal is. But I just like that feature of being using this option, just as far as goal setting on the computer and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, man, I really like this. You know, this goal setting concept that you put out here. You know, today, last week, and I'm looking forward to, you know, more information.
Yeah,
I can
so
just see it being applied in so many aspects of my life. Yeah. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, and I'm doing it, you know, right now as we speak, as they say, in real time. You know, so so next week, what I want to do is start looking at, kind of breaking down a little bit more the steps to setting goals, like going even further. We talked a lot about the things that can hinder you, that can stop you, or they can get in the way of, or just really affect setting the goal. You know, and I like to use this time to be transparent and talk about my personal challenges. But next week, I want to start outlining. There are 9 steps that I want to discuss, but I don't know if we'll have enough time in next week's show to identify all 9, but I at least want to hit 4 or 5 steps to setting goals. And of course, I'm going to tell you right now, number one, and I'm going to say it again, is writing it down. Say it again.
Yeah,
say it one more time. So nice to say it twice. Writing it down.
Well, let me add something to that. You know how much time you have, 2 hours. You know how many bullet points there are to what you want to do. So you got two things right there. You already have a block of time, and you already have a set number of bullet points or items that you want to cover. So, you know, I mean, like, plan your goal, bro. You know,
well,
instead of just randomly approaching it, let me see where this goes. Okay, then I just have to stop now.
Right.
Oh, you know, set, you know, decide between now and next week how much time you're going to spend on the nine things, and then weighing, would it be more effective to split it up in 2 weeks, or can I effectively cover all nine based on the amount of time I'm allotting, equal time? You know, is there an equal amount of time I can divide nine into? Does nine go into 120 minutes equally? Probably not.
Look at you breaking down formulas. Look at you.
That's it.
I don't know. This is a monumental show, ladies and gentlemen. I got my dad asking me to replay some rap music, and he breaking down formulas and stuff. I don't know, man. We talk about some breakthrough moments here, man. Cooking with gas.
So yeah, that'll be next week. I wanted to look more again into those nine steps. And then in the following weeks, maybe even applying, we're talking about formula, even applying some day-to-day formulas that we can use to setting and accomplishing goals. So that's what I'm looking ahead for the next couple of weeks, maybe even 2 to 3 weeks here on the Greenhouse Effect, in addition to other things that we may discuss as well. You know, and other things that are happening out here in the world. And, you know, the only thing is, you know, Dad, I hate to take a lot of time because one thing that I enjoy is getting your perspective on things. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, anniversary time of the Greenhouse Effect, 2014 kind of evolving to where we are now, and even having the opportunities in previous shows when you and I have had some shows together. But being able to provide perspectives of your generation, my generation, and even my son's generation, you know, and having these opportunities for us to have this dialogue.
That's right.
You know, what was that general statement I made where we discuss topics that are relevant to our society. Well, sometimes it's just taking that initial step to have the discussion generation to generation.
Right,
I think is relevant for our society.
Absolutely. I mean, man, you don't have to look far to see where lack of communication exists in our society.
Yeah.
You know, it's all over the place. You know, and people tend to avoid dialogue about things that either they're not familiar with or intimidated by. You know, most of us don't like to show up ignorant. You know, so we would, rather than pursue meaningful dialogue, we would just rather hide our ignorance.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, you know, that's probably the worst way to approach dialogue is to hide ignorance. How then can I learn? How then can I learn?
That's a little difficult.
Or, for that matter, do I even want to?
Mm.
You know, I mean, there comes a time, I think, and there's something that happens in this society of ours. You know, America's a, you know, it's a difficult place difficult place in the world to understand. I know that sounds, you know, okay, you know, so what does that mean? Well, it's a difficult country to understand. It's so contradictory. It's so hypocritical. You know, it's so naive. And it's so destructive. You know, I mean, all the things that go into the making of an infant. You know, and how do you reckon with the wailings of an infant? You know, I mean, when you can't understand what the infant is saying, so there's no way you can understand what the infant is then demanding. So you try to give it everything just to quiet it down. And really all it's doing is just stretching out its lungs, you know. And, man, but this country is so hard to understand. That's why I love it when you recite the two wolves. You know, this is a very paranoid society we live in, and it requires a lot of schizophrenic reaction from, you know, non-white people, non-white men. You know, because even so many of our white female counterparts have to deal with an element of functional schizophrenia, you know, in trying to reckon with the ways of this society of ours. I mean, it has not been designed, right? From its inception, it was not designed for equal treatment of all. Only a select few got to define what equal treatment would look like, and it was still amongst themselves. You know, those what we call the founders, or whatever we want to attach this romantic idiom we want to attach to these guys who first developed this parchment called the Constitution. I mean, they had their best interests in mind, you know, and they may have had a wonderful vision about this piece of paper. But they sure lacked vision as far as the expansion of this country, you know, and they did not take into consideration that which they did not understand. And what they did not understand was everything that inhabited this country that was non-white, rich male. You know, it's, you know, that's why that Manifest Destiny thing just blew me away. And we're only talking just from Manifest Destiny, right? We're still only talking to, we're not even talking 200 years. I mean, come on, you know, man, this is all the things that you have seen in your lifetime, man, other than the Cubs winning the World Series and the Bulls winning six and the White Sox making a comeback and the Bears winning the Super Bowl and actually making it to another Super Bowl and, you know, a black head coach in the football team, you know, and, you know, I mean, other than those things, you know, not only, you know, let's see, in your lifetime, I think so. You were alive when Harold was elected mayor, right?
Yeah, I was in high school.
Yeah. You were alive when he was elected mayor, and now you're seeing a black female gay mayor. I mean, come on, yeah. In Chicago. That's right on. Which, you know, if I may, just real quick, I wanted to mention one thing tonight, if it's okay.
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah.
And just the acknowledgement of Harold. You know, Harold, today's his birthday.
You know, Harold Washington.
Harold Washington.
Talking about Harold Washington,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, today's the first black mayor of Chicago. So this is more or less, you know, Chicago stuff, but that's all right. I get to say it anyway. Today's his birthday, you know.
Wow.
And, you know, I hate the he would have been stuff, you know. Like, I don't want nobody saying that, oh, man, I don't want none of y'all saying, man, today's dad's birthday, he would have been 118. No, man. You know, just let it ride. Just bring, you know, bring that engine to a halt. You know, the year stops running, man. Well, nobody be thinking about me being 118. Let it go with it ends, you know. But he would have been 99. You know, he was raised on the south side of Chicago, attended DuSable High School. Check this out, from 1936 to 1939, And he didn't get his high school diploma until 1946, after his military service. I did not know that about the brother. You know, he graduated from Northwestern University. That's up in Evanston, right? You know, from the School of Law in 1952. And he was elected Chicago's 51st mayor in 1983. Yeah. And reelected in 87, the same year he died of a heart attack. And although this is just, you know, my rambling right now, and although the city council was run by Democrats, which he was one, you know, Harold, what he liked us to call him, he liked us to call him Harold, you know. Harold struggled to get positive results for policies introduced and fought with aldermen, you know, mostly white men, constantly just to get things passed, man. You know, it's so similar for me anyway. The perspective of what he dealt with is so similar to what Barack had to deal with, you know, in regards to Congress and the things he had to fight with. It had nothing to do with, you know, policies. It had to do with skin tone, you know. So these things of American society hasn't been anything than what it's always been. And we can pretend otherwise if we want, and that's fine. And we can talk about growth and progress for people of color and women, and that's fine. But somewhere down the line, we have to recognize certain things that haven't changed at all, you know, and we can't compromise the things that have improved with the things that haven't changed, you know. And, you know, America's not South Africa. America's not occupied France, you know, by Nazis. You know, America's not Russia. You know, America's America. And this is the country we live in a shared diplomatic and democratic society. So the things that aren't consistent with our democratic way of life can't be compromised by talking about things that have improved. You know, what hasn't improved is the racist attacks on people of color. That has not improved. As far as getting better, I mean, you know, obviously the tactics have improved, but it hasn't gotten, you know, better as far as the numbers decreasing and the acknowledgement of the cause. You know, we still dance around the fact that this is a racism front to its own people. This isn't a separate government, you know, like using apartheid South Africa as an example where, you know, the white South Africans pretty much ran everything with the same concepts, power, you know, and property, you know, and the rest of the people were relegated to the leftovers, the crumbs. You know, well, this is, you know, a society where we talk about growth and numbers and faces in Congress. Okay, so we can't say that we don't have a voice in Congress anymore. We do. We can't say we don't have a voice in our local governments. We do. I was looking at this young brother who's the mayor of Brooklyn Center there in Minnesota, young articulate brother. You know, and he's got a brother who's, you know, mayor in Minnesota and a brother who's a mayor in St. Paul. You know, so it's like, wow. So, you know, like we got these voices right there. But the issues are still the same that they're dealing with, that my generation dealt with, that your generation dealt with and is dealing with, and the generations before me. You know, we just call them something different then. We call them lynchings. You know, well, there's still the lynchings that are going on. George Floyd was lynched. You know, and Dante Wright was lynched. You know, and we can see it for that as it is, and that it's continued to exist, or we can keep dancing around it. But it's been happening in the same way, and it's coming through those who are supposed to be paid, not elected, not appointed, but paid to serve and protect. We pay, you know, their salaries. So anyway, man, you know, I just wanted to put my voice in that. It's been very post-traumatic stress induced for me over the course of, I guess, my lifetime. But to see the way it's just, you know, happening now so just flagrantly. I mean, this isn't covert, man. This is overt. This is right here, you know, in front of us all at the same time. We're all seeing the same thing, you know, and this is happening right in our American democratic way of life. You know, and I'm looking at how we're dealing with what we see. I'm looking at black athletes who are still out there entertaining the very people who have probably got them in their gun sights, but they're too busy being entertained by them to make them victims, you know, hopefully. You know, but then you have to wonder, would you recognize me on the street, you know, if I ain't wearing my football gear or my shorts, you know, my baseball uniform, you know.
Yeah.
And most times, no. You know, so it's like, you brothers and sisters, you know, and you females everywhere, it's like we're all seeing the same thing, and we're somehow still continuing with our own particular lifestyles as if we've made, you know, strides in improvements, what we have in other areas, but not in this area, you know, not the way these brothers and sisters are just being mowed down.
Yeah. And this is
by
life
the police.
And death.
Yeah. By the
this
police.
This is literally,
yeah.
By the
man.
Police, literally,
that,
life and death.
Yeah. You, what did that? What is that you said? What did the victim do this time to justify being murdered?
Man.
You know, what did the victim do?
And that's what happened with Brother Wright, right?
Yeah.
Because when we see the video and he's, he shouldn't have.
Yeah.
You know, he shouldn't have. Yeah, he shouldn't have. He shouldn't have resisted. He shouldn't have jumped back in his car, right?
Come on, you know. Yeah, and that young Hispanic brother right there in Chicago. What, last week? You know, 13
you
years
know,
old.
Right. He shouldn't have ran from the police.
Man.
He shouldn't have. You know, why was he out there at 2:30 in the morning? You know,
and that's
13
fine.
Years old. Or what?
That's fine if that's an equal response to all circumstances. But in the meantime, you got these white boys mowing down people with these high-powered rifles, and they somehow managed to get arrested unless they take their own lives. You know, no, man, come on. And they got guns. You already know what they're doing. You already know what you've been called to have to deal with, and you already know there's dead bodies. So you already know what's waiting for you when you show up, and you managed to somehow bide your time and arrest them. You know, this is no more. This isn't. You know, this is flagrant, man. This isn't, you know, this isn't consequential. This isn't, you know, an accident. You know, this is an attack, man. This is, you know, a different form of racism, man. It's just a different form of it. But it's no difficult for me than living in apartheid South Africa. I'm having to have conversations with my sons to tell them what to do if the police stop them. What? You know, that ain't supposed to be any different for anybody. You ain't supposed to have to be concerned about it being a black man. Oh, I'm getting pulled over. Now I got to go through the checklist just so hopefully I can get out of this alive. Man, that's bullshit. I mean, that's boulder dash. I'm sorry.
you good.
Yeah. So anyway, man, I hope you get it. I hope I haven't taken up too much time, man, and I hope there's enough time left for you to play my man, DMX's Prayer, man.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, with that, I think we can. I mean, really, I think we can close it out. You know, that we hit our points for tonight. Next week, like I said, we'll dive more into goals. Dealing with the trial and things like that, I know that a lot of people are still looking at that. And so one question that I want to leave with in talking about this trial that's still going on is, you know, what exactly do we want to see? What is justice? And I think you've asked that question before. You know, people are like, I want justice. Well, what does that mean? What do we want to see? You know, what do we want? There's a lot of stuff out here. You know, there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of videos out here. There's a lot of these TV shows. There's new series coming out, all kind of stuff that continues to tickle, if you will. I hate to use the word tickle, but that's the best thing I can think of. This stress disorder that
we're dealing with. And again, the emotional contagion that's out here, all this stuff. You know, we got to be aware of it. We got to be aware of it.
Amen. Well, I'm stepping out your way, man. Great show tonight. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thank you, Dad. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. So next week, you know, again, ladies and gentlemen, we are live every Thursday night on Blog Talk Radio here on the Greenhouse Effect Radio Show, blogtalkradio.com/The Greenhouse Effect. Our shows are archived and uploaded on multiple platforms from Google and Apple Podcasts, as well as our friends in Iowa at KDub Radio, kdubradio.com. Alanda and Matt have given us the opportunity to rebroadcast our shows on their radio platform, KDub. And the Greenhouse Effect is replayed Wednesday nights, 6 p.m. every Wednesday night. So the previous shows will be played, like this show will be played next Wednesday to prepare you for next Thursday show. So every Wednesday, 6 p.m., those shows are played. So, again, shout out to Alanda and Matt at KDub Radio. You know, I just hope that we can all really still be mindful of our own emotional contagion. Please take care of yourself mentally, spiritually, physically. You know, be aware of these things around you. Continue to mask up and just be aware of your surroundings. Until next week, you know, again, be blessed, be safe. Don't forget Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., Write Your Own Book Club. Again, Saturdays at 10 a.m., Write Your Own Book Club, Central Standard Time. That's blogtalkradio.com/greenbg52 with Dad holding down that show. So check us out as well. So until next week, Daddy-O, love you, man. You be safe. Everybody, good night. And again, stay blessed.
Let us pray. I thank you, Lord, for my birth and everything that's followed. I thank you, Lord, for today, and I will pray for tomorrow. I thank you, Lord, for the love of my life and a friend. I made a promise, and I'm loving my wife to the end. I thank you, Lord, for your guidance, because it's all that counts. And right here, right now, Lord, this is your house. I thank you, Lord, for a dream that came true to light. And I ask you to bless everybody in this room tonight. I don't always do the right thing, and I ask you to forgive me, because I need you here with me. Without you in my life, it's empty. I think back how some people did me like violence was the remedy. And because I think of that now, I pray for my enemy. Not because of what I'll do, but because they don't know. There's something better after here, but everybody won't go. So I ask you to forgive them, and we'll hope they see. And I thank you for the love that they've given to me. I will not abuse it, nor will I lead them astray. You see, I love them like children that I see every day. And I pray, no, we pray together. Get us through the bad weather, and we love you forever. Let your thought and my heart go hand in hand. I first thought but to start, but I stand a man. And for as long as I can, as long as you permit me, please give me the strength I need to live. Bear with me. Amen.
Should be crying, but my heart just won't obey. If you stay, it should be happy as I lie here on the rooftop in the rain. I say.